Okay, we are in the stifling summer of Savannah together with incredible astrologist Sue Rose. And I would love it if you would tell us your background, Sue, who you are, why you got into this field.
Well, I was interested in astrology from about the age 16 when someone gave me a book on astrology for my sweet 16. And then they also gave me tarot cards, and I began to, I will say, mess with them when I was in college, and they were oftentimes uncanny. Then Albany, State University System, sponsored a program in London. I was fortunate enough to be accepted, and I got to study with my own private astrologer in London. And he took me to the underground bookshop straight out of Harry Potter, wow. And this was in the 70s, you know.
That's awesome.
And he taught me how to do charts, and then I couldn't stop reading up on it. I thought it was absolutely fascinating. And I think people who don't come from the traditional, you know, leave it to beaver background, you know, with the husband and wife stay together and you have this solid home, we look a little deeper for the reasons for life and why things happen. And I ended up moving to Puerto Rico out of college. I was a teacher, but I did astrology as a freelance gig, and I began to write for like the San Juan Star and some of the other newspapers in Puerto Rico. Became a little bit of a celebrity there because, you know, being an American for one thing, a teacher, and then having this sideline. And then I had actually a little TV show every Friday. It was the only English language part of the Puerto Rico TV network. And I used those tapes when I came to Key West, having bought a timeshare. I ran into this guy who washed windows, and he said that Key West had an astrologer on TV, and that was like a revelation. Well, it turned out she was leaving. It was all kismet, you know, so I happened to mail them the tapes of my TV gig back in Puerto Rico, and I was hired. When I knew I had a TV show in Key West, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to move here, because I knew if I had a TV show, it was known as Astrology and the Divine Order, that I would attract clients, and then I could sustain myself and my two daughters because I was a single mom. The TV show was very popular. Some years it was voted the number one local show. And from that, I ended up having magazine gigs all over the country, some of them national, some international, a lot of local gigs, Solaris Hill, Miami Herald, Mighty Natural in Miami. And since then, I've traveled to Singapore and Asia and done readings. I lived in Ojai, California temporarily, did readings. Now I'm in Savannah. So it's always been a cosmic roadshow.
But you kind of use a combination of tools, though. Like, astrology is your main gig.
Yes.
Right? But then you use the cards. You also use numerology.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Jesus and everything biblical speaks of two or more gathered together. I like having confirmation from multiple oracle systems. So yes, I do employ numerology. It's not my main focus, but it certainly provides a lot of insight, particularly when the numerology supports the astrology. And then the third aspect is usually the tarot, which I look at as a kind of moving Rorschach inkblot test, since it's so much a projection of what's going on in the person, both on a conscious level and an unconscious level. Because I always say to clients, I will not read your tarot over the telephone. I really want that contact because it's such a mercurial oracle. It changes on a dime. You know, it really does. And I also, a lot of times, I am given, I think, higher transmission. So one time I was working with numerology and this, you know, intimation came to me, you can convert the Chinese I Ching, which has 64 hexagrams, also known as Kua, K-U-A, into a symbol for that person's life journey. So I had a book. It was the Wilhelm edition of the I Ching. It's about 700 pages. I literally opened the 35 hexagram, which is my own number. And I knew that was, I call that an omen of agreement. And since then, I have used the person's birth date, converted it into a hexagram in the I Ching. I also find this system tellingly accurate. So, you know, the typical Western scientist will say, well, how could one system be right and the other one from a different background be right? Because any way you plug into a universe based on divine order, you're going to have a reflection of that order.
That's right. I mean, in Chinese medicine, we have multiple perspectives. We have five element, we have TCM, we have Japanese, we have a whole European perspective.
A lot better than one size fits all, you know, by the book and standardized testing, which I despise.
Well, they say that you can have multiple people staring at a rock, an artist, a philosopher, a doctor, a scientist. I'm sure you've heard this, right? Each one will have a perspective on that rock.
Totally.
Each one is valid.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, pulling them all together, you have this
gestalt. But the typical Western linear mind doesn't like that. It wants to have easy, you know, almost duplicatable answers, which is the opposite of really life. Life is always altering itself. Mother Nature is always adapting to new circumstances. Things are not meant to stay still and replicate the, you know, yesterday's answer or experimental test. That's like freezing life.
You know, that's a great segue into what we're talking about here, because obviously this is a very interesting time for people. We have a pandemic. We have political
upheaval, a schism.
So I think that what would be great to talk about is, well, one, how we navigate such a landscape, what, just like landmines everywhere. Or
can I jump in and say that Einstein, one of my favorite quotes from Einstein is, no problem can be solved from the level of thinking that caused the problem. So much is being locked into the old mindsets. We truly are at an age phase transition. What that means is everybody remembers the musical Hair. We're at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. But the truth is, when an age is about 22 to 2400 years, it's about a 100-year transition period, and we're well into it. But I think I can make the case that the true Aquarian age began around Christmas of last year, because Jupiter is the planet that represents everything the New Testament teaches. It's the principle of faith. Jesus taught, thy faith will make thee well. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can change the conditions of your life. But then the Old Testament is very Saturnine. As ye reap, ye sow, the law of karma, put aside the grain for every seventh lean year. Well, as it turns out, based on the divine order of the planets in their orbital spheres, Jupiter follows a 12-year trajectory while Saturn follows a 29-year trajectory or orbit. At every 20-year interval, this is always happening, they get together. Now, that means at a longitudinal level, they're lined up. So they lined up at the zero point, the entryway to Aquarius, right around the winter solstice, December 20 to 22 of 2020. I had some clients say to me, who do you think is going to win the election? I said, I don't think Trump can win, because Aquarius always represents radical change. It represents iconoclasm and changes to the old status quo. It's also about friendship and ideals, humanity, sisterhood, brotherhood, none of that reflects the old way of the conservative mentality, which
so
was really
all of that coming in clashing with that right now.
Well, I see this as a surge of new Aquarian energy. And one of my favorite examples is even the binary of gender has broken down. Aquarius rebels against everything. And it also is the planet of electricity. So notice how Pisces literally is the oceans. Poseidon, aka Neptune, was the god of the seas, and all of the fossil fuels, particularly oil, are represented by sea sediment over millions of years. So we're transitioning out of fossil fuel into electrical, and probably energies we cannot identify yet, because the whole concept of Aquarius is what's yet to come: invention, innovation, the serendipitous discovery. It's beyond anything we currently understand.
Yeah, that makes complete sense when you lay it out like that. And so what do you think about this idea of, you know, you said so many things going on right now, but I'm just thinking of the pandemic and how that's shaken everybody out of molds.
Oh boy.
And the idea of everybody trying to get back to what it was.
It's really funny. There's this guy named Neil something Ward. He's a British, pretty smart guy who does a lot of economic podcasts. And he had this tape he did where all of the Western world leaders said the exact same quote: build back better, build back better. And it reminded me of something else where Sinclair News and others had the talking heads say the same thing about the Easter Bunny coming out. I mean, it's unfortunate that a lot of the people that have media presence really repeat the same scripts.
Yep.
And they want people to believe that, you know, it's going to build back better, but based on the old systems. But it goes back to Einstein. You know, the whole idea of an age phase transition is that we really cannot go back to the past. And one of my favorite teachers are the indigenous Native Americans. Sun Bear was like the prophetic voice. And there's one Sun Bear book I have where he said, this was 40, 50 years ago, the white man's children are going to return to the indigenous to learn how to live with the earth. Because, you know, I remember, let's talk about Neptune for a moment. It represents the sign of Pisces, so it's the guardian of this transition we're in right now, and Neptune happens to be in its own sign. Neptune's orbit is 165 years, so it only just got back to Pisces in 2010-11. That giant tsunami, you know, in Japan was like the opening act. Here was Poseidon coming home, and I look at it almost like an actor, metaphorically, like if you had come home and saw the state of your oceans filled up with junk. There's actually the equivalent of an island of trash out, you know, in the Pacific Ocean, and the decimation of so many marine species. Wouldn't you send a tidal wave? So anyway, the point is that, you know, it was literally right after around World War II, from 1928 to 1942, a planet with a 165-year orbit spends 14 years in each successive sign. So the opposite sign to Pisces is Virgo, and it loves chemicals. So it was 1928 to 1942, Neptune was passing through Virgo, and that was when the whole idea of better living through chemistry was the mantra. So now our oceans, our bodies, because we're, 70% water, maybe more? We're filled with chemicals. Yeah. I mean, you know, the only way to get back to holism is to stop all this poisoning. You know, Monsanto and these companies that are trying to genetically direct Mother Nature how to line up crops, to me that is the highest level of what wonderful, brilliant Vandana Shiva, Dr. Vandana Shiva from India, called patriarchal capitalism. And we see it with cloning. We see it with all the control of the divine feminine and women's bodies. This is why I wanted to talk about, for me, the only way to get back into balance on this planet is bringing yin and yang into equivalent partnership. I think this, I would like to say that Mars is too much with us. And to appreciate that, we need to understand that every zodiac sign is founded upon a quintessential archetype. Mars is the army, the soldier, the macho guy. I read a brilliant novel by Leon Uris. It was entitled Armageddon, where the author Leon Uris tried to understand how did Nazi Germany succumb to the whole rise of Hitler and all of that. And he said there was a dominant mythology around the masculine superhero. Nietzsche called it worship of the oily muscle. And it's this, you know, this very strong worship of the male side of the force. I was biking the other day, and there was a sign that said, worship him. And I thought, what does that do to every female on this planet to only hear worship him? And then I think of Ryan Eisler. Oh, God, is she brilliant. One of her key books is called The Chalice and the Blade. And she talks about what were the earlier societies to written history. And these were very matriarchal. She calls it partnership-oriented, where the female, the goddess, the life-giving force was worshipped more than the masculine, the warrior, the destructive force. You know, you think of World War II when they dropped the bombs and Oppenheimer said, it was a quote from Blake or someone, I forget, I am become death, the destroyer. And I really believe that since the dropping of those bombs, the mentality of the United States under thrall to the military-industrial complex has really created a war machine that's all over the planet. And for me, COVID, you asked about COVID, COVID was showing the world, you know, what is true national defense? What is true national security? When you toss, I don't know, it's close to $1 trillion at a war machine that's going around the planet looking for enemies to slaughter, because that's what it really has come down to since World War II. You know, all that money, all those precious resources could have gone into building gardens and health centers and well-being places. You know, it's just such a sick bunch of priorities. This is what has to shift, because otherwise, and this goes back to Edgar Cayce, who was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived in the United States. He was known as the sleeping prophet. He likened the United States in the 1940s to the return of Atlantis. He said, this is on record, we've got the Association of Research and Enlightenment, which is a library based in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that has all of Cayce's recordings. There's like 50,000 of them. And he often said that Atlanteans were going to reincarnate into America and bring their genetic engineering knowledge along with them. Why is this important? Because Atlantis sunk for two primary reasons. One was the misuse of the life codes themselves. And this is happening again. The second thing, and this is why it's so apropos to today, because we're at the final phase of the Piscean Age, symbolized by fish opposing fish. Look at the state of the United States. It's practically a civil war. The schism is you know, recurring. And Cayce said that at the time of Atlantis, about half the population resonated with the law of one, which meant that they understood fundamentally we're all connected. Like Jesus taught, whatsoever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. It's collective. But then there's the other side of the equation, which are selfish people that literally only give a damn about immediate self-advantage. So in the United States today, there's a lot of people completely misguided. I should say here that Pisces is ruled by Neptune, and it's got the two fish. So one side of this Neptune principle is high levels of compassion, spiritual at-one-ment, the state that mystics seek after, where you really connect with the numinous. But the other fish is totally deluded, totally deceived, and it can even be self-deception. So You know, we could talk about Trump's chart because the man was born to lie. He's a Gemini. That means he's ruled by Mercury. His sun is positioned in Gemini, but his own planet Mercury is early degrees of the sign of Cancer, literally 90 degrees, that's the hardest angle in astrology, away from Neptune. Anytime a planet squares Neptune, the person is going to show deception in that venue of their life, and Mercury is how you teach, speak, write, communicate, and what you sell and what you market. So, you know, we have a time where at the end of the Piscean Age, about half the United States public is completely living in an alternative reality.
But so let's look at then, how do we break this into a manageable understanding about where we are in time right now?
Okay, I think we have to go back to the 12 fundamental archetypes. And if somebody does have, you know, strong religious feelings, you know, this is really biblical. Why is it that Abraham chose 12 tribes? Why did Jesus choose 12 disciples? What, there was no 13th available? It's because archetypally, this is a reflection of the zodiac, which I view as heaven's model of democracy, the path to peace among tribes. Now, you cannot have that if the only archetype that's seen as godly is Mars, the angry, jealous father god. How many boys that are, you know, not real macho have been, you know, damaged because they don't fit the warrior ideal? How many girls don't fit the Barbie doll ideal? The beauty of the zodiac is there are 12 divine paths, and all of them are equal. And if we could look at it starting with the yin and the yang, because six of the signs are yang or masculine, and six are yin or feminine. The feminine ones are water and earth. And when you think about it, water, the rain, nourishing the soil, gives fruit to, allows the land to become fertile and produce fruits. Now, the yang are fire and air. Just as a side note here, this is a true story. I knew someone in Key West who introduced me to somebody who he said was up for a murder charge. Of course, I wanted to do the astrology chart. And right on cue, we have a Mars-ruled military plane. Right on cue. Thank you, Mars. I'm glad you noticed I'm talking about you. Anyway, I looked at the guy's chart. I never saw such a lopsided chart in my life. He had no planet in water. Water is the element that gives us feelings, including the capacity to relate to others through empathy and compassion. Earth is the idea of consequences. You put that seed in the ground, you're going to wait a while before something grows. So Earth teaches patience and that there's, you know, an eventual fruit for our labor. If somebody has no concept of time and labor or effort, no concept of feeling or compassion, they're all fire and air, which means they are a living explosion. So yeah, I think this guy did commit a murder because there was nothing in his chart to create the humanity. The humanity was literally missing from the chart. So the idea of the zodiac is that it goes back to what we said about Einstein. This is a way of going into the human experience outside of what we've been taught. We're rising to a level where it's not just one size fits all, that, you know, Mars is the ideal of a society where war is the thing that's funded most. We're going to look at the 12 archetypes and why they all bring balance to the equation. And then when we look at the elements, fire and air go together, water and earth go together, we understand why sometimes you just don't feel attracted to certain people and you do feel wildly attracted to others. But even beyond that, you know, opposite Mars, Aries, the god of war, is Venus. She represents justice, equality, fairness, compromise, diplomacy, negotiation. So to have a balanced society, you start with a balance between Venus and Mars. And I often ask myself, what would the world look like if the same types of investments made in Mars, weapons, soldiers, military bases, uniforms, you know, all these killing toys, they're like big boys with killing toys, was invested in Venus? This would be an incredible planet. And I think now, you know, Naomi Klein wrote the brilliant book, The Shock Doctrine, where she explained that corporations are ready to jump in whenever there's any kind of a, you know, a chaos because they take over and then they push things in their own direction. Well, the chaos we're experiencing now with COVID, the weather completely out of balance, economics way off the charts. It's almost like a return to pharaohs and slaves, the pharaohs being Jeff Bezos and the handful of billionaires that have managed to manipulate the tax code so money keeps going to the top of the pyramid and people are struggling at the bottom. And of course, this makes people angry, which leads to things like gun violence and depression and suicide and everything else. The society is completely out of whack. And we are at an age phase transition, which is like that chaos theory where something else can come in. We cannot put the old wine into the new wine into the old wine sacks. It really is time for a paradigm change. And it's interesting too, because Aquarius, the sign, the new age is ruled by Uranus, and it's said to be the planet that most respects astrology. I really think that a view above flatlands, where everything is based on linear equations, black versus white, Christian versus Muslim, Democrat versus Republican, we need to go up a notch, out of flatlands to the third level, which is Uranus, seeing outside of the existing paradigm. And what better than a view from the stars? You know, the ancient navigators used to use a sextant to follow the North Star to get to whatever, you know, new continent. They didn't know it was new at the time, but new place to explore. Well, now I think we need to take, you know, the zodiac out of the old dusty bag and understand that the themes inherent to the basic star plan or the zodiac plan really are a way for humanity to retrieve its best essence and climb out of the quagmire of this final phase of the Piscean Age.
So that's what you're saying. We're going from this. This is the transition.
This is the transition
right now.
Even they use that phrase when they talk about the transition off of, you know, oil and fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And another thing is that transitions are dangerous. It doesn't necessarily mean we come out where we want. You know, the problem is there's so much mass deception. There's so much mass deception that, you know, at the end of my book, I think it's one of my favorite books I've written. It's called Neptune and the Final Phase of the Piscean Age. I could not find a publisher for it. I think it's so radical. I did it myself. But the last line says, how does the sleeper come into the recognition of an awakened state?
Yeah.
You know, how do you wake up people that are, you know, a lot of people, they take alcohol every day. There's a lot of drug use. Some of it, I don't think pot is a drug. I think it's more of a medicine. But there is a lot of dangerous drug use.
But there's a big gap from the awakened state and the sleeping state. And when you wake up with that, it's
guess what,
incredible.
Guess that's what bridges the gap? Shock therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the planet Uranus comes in. I mean, the people in, you know, who live in Oregon that had 116 degree temperatures yesterday, that's unheard of. Oregon is pretty far up north, and Canada's had some. And then, you know, the building collapse in Miami is, I think, a precursor to the salt water coming in because the seas are rising. Antarctica is melting. There's a giant glacier that broke off a few months ago. I mean, people act, you know, it's really funny, like how people could act like there's no such thing as global warming. I mean, you know, it's like, don't believe your own senses. What the heck is that?
Yeah. It doesn't look like we have a choice as far as we're not going back.
Well, that is a very interesting thing you say, because
we are all going forward no matter what. So
we don't know what going forward into. I mean, have you seen Westworld? I thought it was brilliant. Well, there's a scene where the Indians, because I have so much respect for indigenous mythology and understanding, they know that there's this kind of gateway and they just have to get to it and they cross into another dimension. Mm-hmm. But this idea, Edgar Cayce made it very clear that humanity has to reach a level of oneness, where there really has to be, you know, putting down arms to join hands.
But it sounds like we're leading towards that, whether
some
people
are,
like
some
it or
aren't.
Not.
Well, that's the thing, though.
I mean,
I don't know.
We will have a choice, but I think it's going to be very painful for people if they don't start to.
Well, the thing about the choice
open
is,
their eyes.
You know, I mean, some could argue that things like the pandemic and the Earth changes. The last time Uranus was
pick
in Taurus.
One. Pick one.
But I'm going to say
so
something
many
else.
Things that
I know.
Could open you
I know.
Up
and the problem with that is that, you know, end times is not part of the Bible, truly. Tom Hartman was talking about the fact that somebody wrote a book on that in the 1970s or 80s where they made that into a sort of fundamentalist, you know, sect belief. But when people believe that end times equal God's will, they're not going to do anything to change. They kind of think they think there's this some panacea or heaven waiting for them. This is heavy duty, man. This transition is very, very tricky because some are awakened and some are not. I love that Greta Thunberg. She sees more clearly than most people. I mean, she's standing here as a young child who wants a future. Who wouldn't? She's young. And why aren't the adults doing something? And, you know, still, the old oil barons are standing in the way of progress. Now, I want to say something here that's very interesting as a segue, too. Dr. Stephen Greer was a surgeon in North Carolina, and I don't know how he got interested in the UFO thing, but he did, and he gave up his surgery because he realized the greater good would be better served by teaching this truth. He calls it the disclosure movement. He has met with senators and congresspeople. This is not any conspiracy theory stuff. Here's the point. After Roswell, you could debate it if you like, but, you know, these UFO crashes, they were hushed up and put into these giant places out in the desert where certain weapons contractors began reverse engineering working on them. What Dr. Stephen Greer asserts is that we have no need for fossil fuels with any kind of flying machines, and we haven't needed it for 20, 30 years. And if we got off fossil fuels, this planet could start to heal. We have to heal Mother Nature. I mean, there's, you know, glaciers are drying up in places like Peru, and they are the primary source of water. The Southwest, especially Phoenix, Arizona, they said it's a water crisis worse than anything in the past 1,000 years. I mean, nature is sending some really serious, you know, smoke signals. So what Dr. Stephen Greer says is that we don't require fossil fuels. That's really the basic energy transition. And it would be, you know, unfortunately, the oil, gas, and coal barons, and maybe nuclear power people too, they don't want this change. No. They don't want the transition. They're the ones like Big Tobacco used to fund the campaigns that said smoking was healthy. They actually lied before Congress and congressional committees. It's the same thing with the global warming. They've known about it since the 1970s. They're burning up this planet. I mean, think about just the insurance companies, what they're going to be facing. And then what do people do when there's no water? I mean, what do you do? So many, many people are padding themselves from the truth. And the truth is, this planet is in peril. And I wrote a novel called Dolphinity. I won't go into the details, but there's a part where this very gifted, enlightened man who becomes a shaman is giving a talk in Santa Barbara, and he says, you will not be able to heal yourselves. I'm talking about cancer and these other things, until you heal the planet. Because the chemical, you know, effluents that are part of the water systems in so many places and now in our own bodies, this is why children have cancer. When I was a kid, you'd hear about one kid who had cancer. Now this whole hospital's devoted to it. This reminds me of Shirley Jackson's story, The Lottery, where it's almost like the way insurance companies do actuarial estimates on what a life is worth. I feel like who's ever running the show is saying enough collateral damage will be accepted. That they just mow over these things like they're part of it. Aquarius is a sign of truth. It doesn't tolerate all this Piscean deception. It doesn't.
Right, so here we are in this huge transition, which I think we all can agree is transition is difficult on any level. And you've mentioned Mars and Venus. So there are 12. So what are the pairs?
So the sun and the moon are like the primal yin and yang, and Mars and Venus are like the younger signatures of it. You know, like they're more the romantic couple. Now, Saturn and Jupiter, you could say, are a kind of combination, because Saturn is the Old Testament, which is very punitive. It's very much about, you know, if you reap, you're going to sow. And then the New Testament is just, hey, just clack your heels together like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, wish upon a star and you can make it happen. And I mean, basically, I noticed that the works that were mostly getting published in the 90s and early 2000s were Jupiter works, I would call them, like Visualization by Shakti Gawain.
Self-help stuff. Right.
Sandra Ray on I Deserve, you know, a lot of authors, because they were really pushing. I had an adverse reaction to it, because I thought, damn, they're teaching half the equation. They're teaching the Jupiter part. And yes, faith is powerful, but Jupiter is one of the 12 divine archetypes, or one of the signs, you know. Saturn is also a major player. People feel it when Saturn is in their sign. We are all haunted by Father Time in the sense that we have a purpose we come in with. And Saturn represents that purpose. And basically every 7 years, because its orbit is 28, 29 years, meaning every 90 degrees or three signs, it makes a square or an opposition, it's going to challenge itself. And that's when people really feel the pinch, like, you know, what am I not doing with my life that I should be doing? So Saturn right now is in Aquarius, which means Aquarians are getting serious, but it also goes opposite Leo. I'm a Leo. I just had a very heavy experience happen, not unexpected on a Saturn opposition. That's a once in 29 year psychological low. Hello, Leos. I noticed that a lot of Leos in the news are starting to grapple with it. One of them is Cheney's daughter. What's her first name again? I think it's Liz Cheney. So she's a Leo. And for a while, the handsome Cuomo brother, Chris Cuomo, gorgeous Leo, born on my birthday. What a knockout. He was being criticized for giving his brother advice. I'm just watching it, you know, that adorable, I can't say her name right, Meghan Markle, who married the British prince. Yeah. She's a Leo. I'm sure she gets a lot of flack, you know, for him backing away from the royal family. And then Taurus are getting the square from Saturn in Aquarius, and so are Scorpio. Now, where Saturn is currently is 12, 13 degrees. Every sign is modeled after, think of a pie with 360 degrees. Each sign is 30 days or 30 degrees. So that means people born the first, you know, 13 days of the months of Taurus, Leo, Aquarius, and Scorpio are getting the main thrust of Saturn. And that's not all, folks, because Uranus is squaring Saturn. And that's a kick-ass duo. And to me, it really explains what's going on politically, because Uranus is like the Jane Fonda maverick planet of upheaval and challenges to the status quo. And Saturn is Richard Nixon. So picture those two doing a dozy do. Those two planets are squaring each other in the same degree, 12, 13 degrees. So it's real tight, mostly affecting people born around the third day of May, the third day of November, the third of August, and the third of February. But it goes a few days in either direction because we always give these aspects several degrees before they really reach climax. You don't have to have climax. You could be a couple of degrees away, and an event will manifest that matches the quality and character of that planet. I think of the planets as a kind of divine mandate. You know, God put them in the heavens. They have orbital revolutions that they follow.
Right. So in everything that you're saying, where is the remedy or the opportunity?
I think we have to embrace the unknown because the whole idea of Aquarius is it's beyond what we can presently conceive. And this is why humanity can't allow itself to get locked into the old packages. This truly is the transition, which means that there will be energy species we haven't seen before. So even the binary of gender has dissolved. There are a lot of electric cars. There is a lot of solar energy. There are people doing experiments in their basements that just can't get the funding, but they know what we don't know. You know, the scientists and the inventors of the future are already working on what they're doing.
So when we were talking previously about like recognizing the symptoms of the Piscean age, and one of the things you were talking about was how people aren't understanding one thing is affecting what we're seeing today, the manifestations of what we see today, just with the weather, for instance. So like, where is that blind spot?
So I think a lot of it goes to the Western educational system. They call that the separation of disciplines. So you study English, you study history, you study science. And then we see this, you know, when newspapers have a sports section and a weather, well, not weather, you know, a fashion section. Everything is divided into categories and not many people can see what they now are calling intersectionality. I call it tyranny through categorization. Like, you know, this is really true. When I first tried to get published, I would have people say, well, is it feminism or is it astrology? Is it astrology or is it New Age? I mean, I would laugh. I'd be like, I can't believe it. It all comes down to the Dewey Decimal System and where the damn book goes on the library shelf. Right. There's so much of that where things are literally, you know, there's an interesting comedian, Dave Chappelle. He's a Virgo.
Oh, yeah.
And he was interviewed and he said, you know, they call you crazy because then they can dismiss you and they can dismiss your ideas. So when something doesn't fit into the category, it becomes the exception. It becomes, you know, the murky area. And sometimes this is like a way of dismissing people who have something to say that bridges these gaps.
So people are actually supporting the blind spot. They're even...
They live in it.
Yeah, they're putting pressure on those who don't have it.
Well, they call a lot of people that, like, say, watch Fox, quote-unquote, news, that they live in a bubble. I mean, they really do believe that Trump won the election. You know, Goebbels was the number one German propagandist, and his main thesis was, you tell a lie, so often people will believe it. And that is really a strategy of unscrupulous people who, in my view, represent the darkest side of Pisces or that really ugly fish of deception. You know, I was thinking about this, that there have been some really significant Pisces who have created the atmosphere of deception that has a lot of people, like we say, unable to wake up to the truth of the times. One of them is Rupert Murdoch. He found out that having really breasty women on the cover of his newspapers in England sold them. So he really began to dumb down the news. And then he came over to the U.S. He's the one that owns Fox News, or his family does now. He started in Australia, too. I mean, he really believes that he has no integrity. There's no integrity. I would think the truth should matter in media. There was a time where the media had to be fair and balanced. If it had one opinion, it had to also introduce the contrary opinion. And there were real debates. There were really interesting stories and discussions. That's not the case anymore. People kind of go into their little bubble, you know, cul-de-sacs of ideas, and they stay in them. There's somewhere in the Bible, I'm not a scholar, I don't know where it is, where it says that the main tool of evil, which some people see as an animated, you know, a real figure that they call Satan, it's deception. So it always amazes me that the people that speak the most and self-identify the most with Jesus, the fundamentalist Christians, are the most who are most susceptible to the deceptions of our times.
Okay, so that's perfect. Let's start in the timeline of the ages.
Here, okay.
Because that's a perfect...
It is really important.
...segue into what happened between... What happened to us between Aries and Pisces? Like,
yeah.
Where was the lesson not learned there?
Like, yep.
What opportunity did we have with the Piscean age coming in? There had to have been an opportunity, just as Aquarius...
Well, there's always opportunities. And, you know, we have to be careful of talking collectively because some souls make it. You know, every salmon doesn't get upstream, but this is why I love the theory of reincarnation, and I totally believe in it. You know, I don't think that there can be a just God if one child is born to a crack mother and no foreseeable future advance, and another child is born into a perfectly loving family with every educational opportunity. Astrology, karmic astrology, says that where your chart is now, the blueprint you reincarnate with represents where you left off in time. Both your abilities and where you have karmic lessons. So humanity, you know, different people make the grade. Some people keep, you know, slipping up. It's not just, you know, a universal blame game, you know. Right. Some souls really understand what's happening, and some are totally lost in illusion right now.
Do you feel like when you're reading for people and you're seeing the astrology, a chart, you can help them sort of see where they've jumped in?
Yes.
In this lifetime?
Totally.
And then
totally.
The things that they would... perhaps need to remedy.
Well, one of my favorite examples of that, it has not happened often, was the wife of a doctor. He was stricken with, I think it was a brain ailment. I met them at a psychic fair in Gainesville. And she's one of the only people that asked me to chart everybody in her family. And two of the sons were doctors. The father was a doctor. But the daughter was plagued with terrible mental illnesses. And it helped my friend, the person who hired me, a great deal to understand, because every mother asks herself, what did I do wrong in that pregnancy? You know, is it something I ate? You know, but the reality is that that young woman had four planets in the natal sixth house of health. The less you have, including zero, the better, because every planet points to a particular organ, sometimes multiple organs in the body. If it shows up in the house of health, it's going to be a very... sensitive area while you're growing up. And if somebody has more than three planets in that sixth house of health, then it's pointing to a lifelong health issue. That's the bottom line. And when we come in with the chart, it's a blueprint. It's not an accident. It's not a roll of the dice. Every child doesn't come in with a blank slate. I mean, I always, you know, resent when I hear, you know, the philosophers say the accident of birth. I say accident my ass. You came in where you left off. What the hell is this nonsense?
When we're talking about the ages of existence, age
yes.
of Aries,
yes.
that then was followed by the age of Pisces, which is now being followed by the age of Aquarius.
Age of Aquarius, right.
These ages coming in are opportunities. You say they happen, what, 2,200, 2,400
yeah,
years?
Yeah, approximately, yes.
So these are representations of, so Aries was representation of, if you're going by your archetype, Aries
Mars.
Is the war of God, right?
Yes.
So you have an age where war was king.
It still is. And that's the funny thing. You know, Jesus came in. He was the avatar. He was the teacher of peace.
He came in during the age of Aquarius.
At a transition. He was at the transition of Aries into Pisces. And so Aries is a very yang masculine, you know, macho sign. You know, I hit you with the club and I get the woman. You know, my army comes into this turf and we put our flag down. We own it. That mentality is still here because it's never really been, you know, brought into balance with the other 11 archetypes of the circle. When Jesus came in, that was a yin age. Pisces is yin. It's all about compassion, and Jesus did teach that, you know, walk in someone else's moccasins. The whole idea of, you know, giving, you know, the poor a chance. But what happened is, you know, this is my joke, because Pisces, one fish's deception, the old rulers, the oligarchs, you know, the heads of religion, the heads of state, the heads of corporate power, because they existed in those days too, they said, you know what, let's just put Jesus's name on it and we'll continue the wars. So that's the greatest deception. And, you know, when Bush started the war against Iraq, he let it slip. He called it a new crusades. That mentality never went away. So the entire age of Pisces, which has been the last 2,300 years, has had war a very prominent component of it, even to the effect that currently about half the United States discretionary budget is earmarked for war and weapons and all this craziness, right when that money is needed to make buildings and rivers and communities safe against global climate chaos, COVID, and the financial rigors of a highly unequal society. I mean, you know, looking for enemies afar is a really bygone notion that humanity must evolve beyond, and I really think it comes down to the perception of the deity. Because as Ryan Eisler explains in The Chalice and the Blade, when the premise of God was also a feminine idea of a life-giving female being, you know, we put the two together and we get the yin and the yang. That creation is a combination of yin and yang. That's why I'm featuring, along with this podcast, the image of the DNA molecule itself. It is a double helix. It is comprised of 23 chromosomes from the male father and 23 chromosomes from the female mother. It's an equal operation. Same thing with the human brain. The left brain is kind of masculine and linear, and the right brain is more feminine and more about, you know, connecting things that are diffusive and intuitive. We see it also, you know, in the two fish of Pisces. It's sort of symbolic of yin and yang. Do they split apart? Or are they going to find a new coalescence, a divine coalescence, a level of partnership where women, the feminine side of creation, is brought back into all of the decision-making equations? Very, very important. Things are out of balance. We got to go back to the balance. What is the balance? Look at DNA. You know, look at the brain. It's a yin-yang combination. It's partnership. It's not about, you know, the God, the Father, you know, using power and dominance and domination to make everybody line up. You know, hierarchy doesn't support democracy. Businesses are hierarchical. A lot of the educational systems, you got your principal, then, you know, the next level. Everything is hierarchical. We have to come back to the circle. The indigenous people use the circles of the elders.